Wow, I haven't heard that for, I can't remember to tell you how long it's been, a long time. From the album From Monday to Sunday, that is Nick Hayward, who, just by a stroke of luck really, no, it's a waste.
My natural selection and pollination.
Hi Nick, how are you?
Good. How are you, Mike?
Oh, fine, mate. And it's a delight to talk to you. It really is. I told so many people that you were on the programme today, and I've had women promising me all sorts of things because they love you.
Oh,
And they loved you, and they still love you.
Well, bless them. I did a thing on the other day when you do your websites and stuff.
Yeah.
And do stats. And I have 80% male fan base.
Have you really?
Yes.
Oh, that can't be right.
Yeah. I've got to turn that around.
You have, yeah.
But the thing is, now when I play, I feel responsible. I need to have the support band, and they need to be female, so that when the guys come, the partners, they've got, you know, something for them.
Absolutely. And Michelle, who did the program before me, she said, oh, Nick, she said, he's got happy eyes. I mean, he's had a good time. He's had a good life.
Well, they're happy by having a sad life. You know, they're optimistic guys. You know,
they are.
Thank God for that.
They are. Right, let's get down to business. I love the new single, The Mountaintop. We've been playing it. It's in our A-list. What are you up to? Where have you been? What's coming up for you in a nutshell, really?
Well, you know, it's amazing to actually be sort of talking about an album, and here it is, and I'm like talking about it, and it's got a title, and it's got tracks off it and singles and stuff like that, and I'm doing artwork, and
yeah,
I'm just amazed at that, and playing dates, and like I'm playing at the 229 on the 19th in London.
Yeah, I see that one.
And I'm getting together, you know, like new songs to play for the set, and so that is a first, because for many years to be able to get the money together to pay for this album.
Right.
I've been doing just old stuff.
And you've been crowdfunding, is that right? Have you been crowdfunding to pay for that?
Yeah, I got to get... So to be independent, I've got my own label, Gladsome Hawk, now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, working with Pledge Music to be able to get it together so that I can be speaking to you now. This is promotion, you know. So I funded the whole thing, and I've really enjoyed it. I didn't expect to do that. So I just started making the album with my son in his bedroom.
Right.
And just thought, well, I don't know how or what is going to come out. Maybe, you know, because when I started the record business, wasn't really in a great state. But then the independent world started to happen more and more and more, and YouTube and everything. Mm-hmm. So it's really healthy. So you can just kind of... be an artist now.
And that must have been very special working with your son as well.
Oh, amazing. I mean, he's just, from the age of four, he could work at my Porter studio. When I was like, how do you do that again? How do you work that? And here he was just kind of, oh, you plugged that in there, Dad. And
yeah.
His recordings were way superior to mine.
But you were very, very young, Nick, when you started the Haircut 100 experience. You know, you were one of the last bands in the 80s when charts still really mattered. And you just dominated them. It was a brief period of time, but you all of you in the band were very young. You were under 20 almost, weren't you?
Yeah, Graham, Les and myself were all the same age, and we were 19. 19 when we started.
And do you think that, you know, that didn't help? You know, there's been lots written about why you left the band, etc. Was it naivety or, you know, just sheer youth or inexperience that led to that?
Yeah, well, we've had a lot of time pass, so a lot of meetings in cafes and restaurants and get-togethers and attempts at being a band again and that kind of stuff. And it's quite difficult because we had six in the band in the end. And on stage, when we get together, it's just absolute magic, because that's where we connected, and that's where it happened. And so that's great. The last time, I think, was at VH1 on TV. You know, they made it happen. And if you've got somebody managing it like that, I mean, we joked, we kept saying, you've got to manage us. Can you not manage us? You know, Jason Lindsay, the guy who put the program together, I think he was a bit of a fan. So we just said, please manage us, because we knew that there's not that person that could do that, because it's quite a unique thing to want to do.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Get people together, and it's really tough to do it as well. I mean, pretty much everybody in the band has had their own attempt at getting all the six of us back together at some point, you know.
Yeah, because there was no big fallout, was there? There was no huge argument or anything, or legal companies getting, you know, it's not Roger Waters scenario or anything.
No, we love each other. There's a deep love between us still now. I mean, I speak to Graham, Blair Cunningham, drums, yep, played on this album. I was having tea with Mark in his garden not so long ago. It's just that we were young and like a boat that was very, very attractive boat, and everybody jumped on the boat and it sank. You know, that was it, really.
Yeah, and yes, I mean, Pelican Brief was a wonderful album. Wonderful. One of the, you know, I think that's in several people's top tens even.
Oh, it's you know, it really is of a time. I mean, I remember that period in music as well, and that period of creativity and how old we were and what equipment was being used,
yeah,
in the studio, and the producers and engineers that were around in those days. I mean, our engineer, John Gallen, his first job was working on Night of the Opera.
Okay.
By Queen. So this is what they'd done before. You know, he'd watched Night of the Opera being made, you know, when he was a kid, and then he was the guy making Haircut 100 records, you know, and then there was Bob Sargent, we went to because he made the beat, and he'd, you know, the beat when we were growing up were, even though they weren't that much older than us, were I just couldn't believe how brilliant these pop records were, and they sounded really clear as crystal. Why was that? So when we had our chance,
you're right,
to choose people, we went towards Arista Records, who had signed the beat, and they gave you your own label, and we thought, yes, we want to sound like the beat. So meeting Bob Sargent for us was just a turning point, and you know, that's why Love Plus One and Favourite Shirts sound so clear and crisp.
They do. You've got a fantastic acoustic guitar sound on those. That was the first thing. I'm going back many years, but when I was that age, I remember just hearing how clean it was, and the Buggles also managed to get that clean sound as well. It was just wonderful.
Well, we used a digital thing called 3M. It was the first digital recording machine. It kept, mm-hmm, breaking down, I must say. There was more time broken down than it was mended. But when it was working, it was a brilliant thing. And so that's why the beginning. It's a Gretsch guitar, Chet Atkins, through a Roland Jazz Chorus 120, mm-hmm, through the desk and through this 3M digital machine. And it still cuts through. It's that percussive almost, like
ding 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 ding.
And I was really into Talking Heads at the time, and I thought I was David Byrne, so
right,
you know, everything had this kind of tick 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 tick, you know. I was going, woo woo, look over there, Dry Ice Factory, you know. Just thought I was. And so that's why I think there was lots of whooping and funky kind of guitar. But that was just my infamous, because, you know,
yeah,
that's,
yeah,
the magic of a band, when you bring stuff together. And that's the magic of creation, isn't it?
Exactly, and
it goes.
Woodland Echoes is totally your creation. So what was the process? How did it happen?
Well, it began in my son's bedroom, and he set me up. Actually, it began in my... Actually, it was Oliver and Kate's bedroom at the time. It normally meant my studio, because they kind of merged together.
Right.
You know, Dad's equipment. Oh, God, you know, Dad's equipment over there. But Ollie set me up, you know, a laptop and a mic, and the first thing I did was Forest of Love, which was, it was like a sketch where it was just vocal and a guitar and a kind of boom-ba. The boom-ba didn't stay, very much like the record you've heard, Kite.
Yeah.
The sort of metronome going through. And then it took many years to colour it in and finish it off, and we were still colouring it in last year. And it just was right there. It was finished and did dabs, and sometimes we'd spend a whole week just did dabbing away. And I think those did dabs have worked really well, because it is like a landscape painting now. It's every track was definitely finished, which is a first for me, because normally you think, oh, I could have done this or I could have written that. Right. But
Are you a fiddler? Do you keep coming back to it and just fiddle a bit more, or do you do something and think, right, that's it, I'm not going to touch it anymore?
Well, you know, it all depends on the song. I mean, my job as a songwriter is to know when it's finished. And they were definitely finished when they were finished. So I wouldn't dab at them now. It's not like a perfectionist thing where they're still not right. The process just took a long time. It could have taken, had I had a sort of studio, it would have worked. But I haven't got a studio, so this was just kind of like going and seeing whether people were available and, you know, working a bit with Ollie when he was around. And so it was doing stuff, then you had went off and did things and then came back to it. So I had the luxury of not having a record company saying, this needs to be finished by this time.
Right, exactly.
Certain time. But also, it was a bit like, with the next album, I'm going to have to be the record company and myself and say, Nick, you know, these are the 12 tracks. Now actually, I know how to make a record. I've seen how it goes. It's a bit like being on something like Instagram. You know how it works.
Yeah.
You're up and running and you go, oh, that's how easy it is. Oh, okay, right. So I can speed up the process, the creative process next time.
I read that...
I mean, there's already like 4 tracks recorded for the next album anyway.
Excellent. I read that you were you played Liverpool recently to a good sized crowd, and the reviewer said the man never looks happier, and it was something you really enjoyed.
Oh God, I loved that gig. I mean, I loved that gig. Playing the cavern, playing all around that beat.
Oh, really? You played the cavern as well, did you? Oh, fantastic!
God, it was amazing.
And you're on a tour, of course, coming up soon. You're playing at the 229. Is it the 229 Club? Is it called?
Yes, it is. I hadn't heard of it before, but apparently this is where Paul Weller's favourite gig.
Oh, that's a new venue to me. I must pop along. I'll have to pop along.
Yeah.
And this is Wednesday the 19th, isn't it?
Wednesday the 19th in London, near Great Portland Street.
Then you're off to the Rewind Festival in Scotland on the 23rd in Perth and in Macclesfield. Then you're in Oldham, then you're in Henley, and then back to London for Christmas.
Yes.
And the new album is out on the 4th of August, and it's called Woodland Echoes. And is that the album cover, or the hands behind the head picture?
No, it's not, actually. I really pushed for this postcard that I've got on the front, which I bought for, like... £1 round the corner.
Right, okay.
And, you know, the promotions that I hired said, we've got to have a picture of you. And for some reason, I was pushing for this postcard. So, I don't know, this is just lovely. I think it's a lovely postcard of a lake in Northern America, really. It just seemed to be everything that the album is.
Nick, I can only wish you the very best of luck with the oncoming tour, and even more so for the album, because you're very special to me. You remind me of a certain time in my life. The music that you produced has been outstanding, and long may you be successful. And
thanks, mate. Thanks very much for the support.
No, it's no problem at all, because you know, you deserve it. And I love your songwriting. I love the sound you make, and I can't wait to get my hands on the album. So,
brilliant. Well, you know, I really am chuffed with every song on it, so, and I'm just going to get on with the next.
And perhaps, if you're down this way in the not too distant future, maybe before the gig at Christmas, we might even drag you into the studio,
and you
can come and do a live session. We could do a live session even.
Yeah,
so
let's do that.
We'd love to. Nick Hayward, thank you so much for your time today. We're running out of time, but lovely to talk to you. I wish you every success, and I'm going to try and pop along on the Wednesday. Okay.
Yeah. Do.
All right, my friend.
Thanks,
right, here is that new single. I'm in love. And thank you again, and good luck with everything.
Thanks, Mike.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.